From Thrawn to Dantooine and everything in between. Presented by the Youtini Podcast Network. Talking Star Wars Legends books, comics, gaming, and collectibles while celebrating the Star Wars EU to expand your universe one episode at a time. This is Legends Look Back.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Legends Look Back, proudly part of the Youtini Podcast Network. This is a Star Wars books podcast for people who still like to say all that in a bag of chips, from time to time, of course, where we celebrate the Star Wars EU and expand your universe one episode at a time. I'm your host, Jared Mays, and I'm joined by tonight by the nerd with the keys, Rick Race. How are you, Rick?
Hello. I never know who you're going to go to, so I try to get somebody queued up, and then I just, you know, we'll push a button and hope that it's the right person. So that worked out.
You are the right person for the job. You know who else we have? Mother of Multitudes, Emily Dayback.
Mother of Multitudes. Anyone on the way? But yeah, I'll take Multitudes. That sounds pretty cool. Not quite as cool as Mother of Dragons.
Like, well,
but
on the
I'll
way to
it.
Multitudes.
Mother of Dragons.
Yeah, maybe one day.
Yep.
Absolutely. Mother of the Sea Ruvi. Speaking of Sea Ruvi, the man who loves Trusa Bakura more than anybody on planet Earth. And let's go ahead and call him the Golden Boy of Star Wars Celebration, Freddy Easy.
Golden Boy of Celebration. I've never heard that. I've seen Anthony Daniels, so that he's definitely a Golden Boy.
He's golden sometimes.
He's golden, yeah. Celebration, right? The anxiety. It was nuts. That little man.
For those that are uninformed, let us know what we're talking about. Celebration tickets just went on sale for 2027. We're looking forward to it. Trying to get the gang together. I've got my tickets. Freddie's got his tickets. Emily just learned that she missed the opportunity to buy tickets.
May is a
Rick
really
is
hard
approaching
month
joblessness.
For teachers, okay. There's like 20 tabs.
Listen,
open
it's not
in my
fault.
Brain right now. Okay. It's if true. You're interested in selling your ticket,
if
you just reach out, okay.
Maybe I could
click it or ticket,
make
as
some,
they say.
Some forgery tickets and sell those or something.
Oh, that would be the worst.
We did try to sneak in Tyler from the Cosmic Force. Were you there with us, Freddy, for that? And he got absolutely body checked at the doors by the bodyguard. And we were like, we don't know him. And we were out of there. Absolutely out of there.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, I got to get your tickets. Share your experience with us, Freddy. I think you had a uniquely profound experience getting your tickets.
Oh gosh, yes. It was myself, my wife, on three devices each. Different browsers, just like, what is going to happen? I don't know what's going to happen. You hear mumblings of what other people are doing. I've got like the Celebration Discord from previous celebrations, and just seeing what people are saying.
Is that just for VIPs? So
there is a VIP channel. That's where all the VIPs end up going. That's a little community there. And then you get force ghosted if you don't make it VIP to the next year.
Whoa. Yeah.
So I have not That's yet so been great. Force ghosted. I survived. But
yeah,
anyway,
Freddy
it was
loves, a, he's been a VIP for multiple years, so it was a big deal for you to try to get those tickets again because, well, you're better than us. Let's be honest.
Yes. That's and, true. You know, got to...
Everyone says it.
The number
he
one...
He didn't deny.
There's no point.
Just got to admit, it was insane to go through the whole process. And then, of course, got my family's tickets, so, like, it's going to be an event. We're all going to L.A. You know, the little one wants to know where daddy used to live. I said, woof. I don't know. Not yet. I don't want you to see that life yet. That's, you know, California is everybody's too young is what they always say. So at least the mentality.
Inglewood. That's where my scooter ran out of batteries.
Yep.
And that was scary. Right at dark. I was in a unhoused person encampment with a dead scooter. It was fun.
I got pulled over in Compton, and the cop was like, you should just go.
Really?
Get out of here while you can, buddy. Yeah. So we're excited about Star Wars Celebration. If your baby needs a roommate, I'm currently also unhoused for Celebration because Oz had bought us a house, and I was excited about shacking up with the rest of the team. And then everybody else bought their own hotel rooms because they freaked out. Nobody could keep their cool, and they left me stranded. So I'm currently in search of ISO, a roommate, if you will. So, Rick, you're going to have to go. Hmm. We're going to have to share a bed. No, never mind. You snore. I need a different roommate.
I have a CPAP, and I didn't bring my CPAP that night just to mess with you, and it worked.
It worked.
Yeah.
You see my eye twitching?
I love
you're the one. This is what Rick did to me.
Knee-jerk choices for roommates are a newborn and someone who snores. Do you hate yourself? Or
No.
I've actually got a buddy going with me, theoretically.
And when Jared says I snore, he is underplaying it. Like, I am notorious for trying to die in my sleep via suffocation. So.
Oh, you almost died that night. Let me tell you that much.
Oh, my gosh.
I've also roomed with Freddie, who also snores.
After a whole week of partying.
I don't snore.
Finally got sleep.
You're the most eligible roommate.
And yet, also the least eligible roommate.
Exactly.
Absolutely
Somehow,
not.
For some reason. Well, we're excited.
No rooming,
very excited about Star Wars Celebration.
Me and Rick together.
Celebration
we'll
is very, very,
tag team
very much a big deal for Freddie. I think it's a big part of our fandom. Getting together in the fervor, the frenzy, the energy of Star Wars fans. I'm currently shopping out ideas for my next tattoo.
Yes.
I really want to get Han Solo punching Drachma, the space otter in the face. But I also think I might just get a moisture evaporator, like the old Utini logo, thinking about that one. On the forearm, maybe.
I feel like you gotta combine
my forearm
all
recently.
Of,
that
like,
one's
the infamous
gross.
Legends art, like the what you just mentioned, naked pops, all that. Combine it into like a sleeve. And then just like build on that sleeve every year.
Whoa, a legend sleeve.
I should get Hot Dog Boba Fett.
Yeah.
You should.
There's so many great
Let
options.
Me tell you. Never mind. Yeah, so many good ones. I'm so excited about that. Star Wars Celebration coming up. Give us your ideas in the Discord, on Twitter, on Instagram, on what we should do for a panel. We want to do a Legends Look Back panel at Celebration the day those applications for fan panels go live. I am submitting something that day. Not the next day, that day. You know why? I have OCD. So give us your ideas, and we're open to anything at this point.
I've got
we've got
some
stuff in
patches.
The works.
For Celebration, come find me.
Oh, cool. Yeah, patches. We should make patches. I also want to have buddies to do the running of the hoods. Growing out the mustache, it's gonna get so bushy.
I'm doing it.
Emily, you're gonna love it.
Send me what I need.
I'll stop shaving.
Yeah,
it'll be
okay.
Great. Start growing it
out. Yes, so great. I'll never. This is one of my top fandom moments in my life when I ripped off that mask and Emily discovered I had a mustache under there.
I was so confused. It looked really good. I liked it. That was nice.
Moments.
But I was like, wow, that seems new.
It was dangling down.
It was awesome.
Freddie watched me shave it. It was
very
intimate.
Like, what, 70s, 60s? Yeah, it was.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Soul.
Wolverine Hood is.
He looks soul.
He's got
man.
Some 70s energy. Rick, what would it take to get you to run through a convention center with 200 of your closest friends, wearing orange jumpsuits, carrying an ice cream maker?
And by run, you mean?
Only thing it would take is getting me there. Like, give me my flight, give me the ticket in, and I'll do it, man. I'm sold.
Should we do a GoFundMe for Rick's
So if anybody wants to donate $2,000
to get Rick's celebration. I don't want to wear out the GoFundMe because I might need that to, like, pay my bills in a month or so.
Oh, I forgot about that.
We gotta plan our GoFundMe strategically.
That's true.
So we're looking to get Rick a great job with good benefits and plenty of time off.
It'd be nice to have health care for the first time in my adult life.
Guess it would.
It's overrated.
Guess it
overrated.
Would.
It's
you know the military.
We've got how many doctors on the team at Utini?
It's true. All right, I'm sorry. I better let's stick to Star Wars. How about that?
Let's do it. Hey, tonight we are getting into a Legends book that we've never read. Freddie, 194 episodes, not counting bonus episodes between the two of us. And our newer teammates, who are so new, they've been here 5 years. Wow. We've never done this one. And that is The Old Republic Deceived. I've got three copies. We've got, give me the one, paperback, Deceived. We've got hardcover, same book, also Deceived, Darth Malgus, yep, by Paul S. Kemp, and Essential Legends Collection. Oh, look at this one. It's so artistically done. So cool. So this is a Legends book that we've never really talked about at all. I've even got joining me tonight the Darth Malgus Funko Pop, who is very excited that we're, oh yeah, look at him. He's so excited that we are finally reading his book on the podcast. So what is the Old Republic of Deceived? This is a story where smugglers, Jedi, and Sith all collide on a war-torn Coruscant. We are going to unpack the desperate choices of Zerid Kor, a.k.a. Z-Man. Oh, I hate it when they call him Z-Man. Anyway, we've got the vengeance-driven path of Aaron Lanier. Pretty cool character. And the ruthless philosophy of none other than Darth Loverboy himself, Darth Malgus. Along the way, we explore what happens when survival, love, and belief all come into conflict. And who's left standing when the dust settles? Freddy, tell us some of the deets, the BTS, if you will, on Deceived.
Yeah, backgrounds. So, of course, written by Paul S. Kemp, who I have not yet interviewed. Would be nice to get Paul S. Kemp to tell us some stories. Hey, Jared, get our guys on it.
We've got guys. We do need to get some guys on it. I'm working on some other leads at the moment, but
yeah. Published in 2011, and the cool thing is that this actually received an ELC, so it got a boost in some popularity in 2022.
This is of course coming from the video game. Have you played the game? Have you seen the trailer? You know what we're talking about?
Oh yeah. Oh yes.
Yeah, the Deceived trailer, for my money. Everybody seen this? The Old Republic Deceived was the first trailer released by BioWare for the massive multiplayer online game Star Wars The Old Republic. Came out in 2009. My buddy Luke in college, he and I would just sit at the computer and watch it on repeat. And like Dumb and Dumber, no, like Beavis and Butthead, we would sit there and be like, awesome. And then we would just play it again. And we would eat ramen, and then we'd go pick up chicks. I mean, it was great. So
nice.
Deceived. The trailer for Deceived, the video game itself, for me, C-. That trailer is quite possibly the greatest piece of Star Wars content ever made for any reason, in any format, ever.
There was a series
behind Dark Empire.
There was like a series of mini videos that they released
in
anticipation of this game. And of course, the game comes out and it's fun. It's obviously an amazing work of art, to be honest.
Sure.
Never existed in our minds at that level before. That many Sith.
Rick, have you seen the video? You know what we're talking about?
Oh, yeah. It is a great video. Now, I read the book. This is on brand for me as a late to Legends guy. I read the book first and then saw the video. And for me, it reinforced the book and made the book that much better. Because the video was copying the book, you know, even though obviously that's not right chronologically.
Right. The video was first.
Yeah. But it was cool to have a video that went with the book that I just read.
I came across a fun fact here. Who's got the fun fact here in
this
the notes?
This one's really cool. Yeah.
First of all, the video itself has nearly 9 million views as of the time of the recording of this episode, plus another 2-ish million on the 4K Ultimate Remaster.
Ooh.
So we're talking about 11 million views, which I'm going to come out and say it. More views than The Mandalorian and Grogu is going to get opening night. I said it. Emily, I found something really cool. Did you hear about the lore regarding James Luceno?
I didn't, but I'm seeing here in the show notes. That friend of the show, James Luceno, was originally the author, but his backstory was rejected. His backstory for Malgus was rejected. And then BioWare and LucasArts switched basically to Paul S. Kemp for him to write the book. I guess part of his original outline for Malgus, Luceno's outline, included him being a former slave and hardened in gladiator combat, which I love that. I don't know why they didn't like it. But Luceno later reworked that backstory into Darth Maul's history in his new novel, Darth Plagueis. and some of Kemp's darker details of Malgus and the Sith were removed from the final version. That makes sense. I feel like his character lacked a little bit of depth. Oh, but yeah, so anyway, so part of the content cut from the final story includes a scene where the triumphant Sith play a game of ball with the severed heads of the slain Jedi. Ooh.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Oh, yeah. so cool.
The Where's Jedi? That that's like pure Sith, man. That's like metal. Evil as heck.
That's so hardcore. You know, he wrote that right after he just squatted like 1,200 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
What
that's
a beast.
That's wild.
That's
one-legged
insane.
Squats, too.
One-legged squats.
One-legged.
For sure.
He's got medicine balls. Absolutely. Like, yeah, then we can do this with heads. He's like playing wall balls or like toss it to a friend.
Yeah. So excited to talk about this. I think we're going to have some differing opinions. We'll say that much. Let's get into it. Hey, this is your spoiler warning for the Old Republic. Deceived. If you have not yet read the book, don't do it. Just go watch the trailer.
It's good. You should read it.
No, you can read the book or follow along with us and see if we just scratch the legend's itch for you. Here we go. At its heart, Deceived is a story about people trying to hold on to something human in a galaxy that keeps grinding that humanity down bit by bit. So on the one side, you've got Zerid Kor, Z-Man, a former Republic soldier turned reluctant criminal. Gotta love a good Star Wars archetype. He's running illegal spice just to keep his injured daughter alive and give her a shot at a better life. Aww. He's the kind of guy who keeps telling himself, just one more job, about 100 times throughout the book, all while sinking deeper into a life he hates. Opposite him, however, is Erin Lanier, a Jedi Knight who starts the story believing in the Order right up until she feels her master murdered across the Force and decides vengeance might be the only thing that makes sense anymore.
Crazy. Meanwhile, looming over everything like a walking nightmare in armor is Darth Malgus. Should I cover my mouth for the rest of this? Nah, we won't do that.
It's a podcast. I wouldn't.
The book opens with him leading the brutal assault on the Jedi Temple during the sacking of Coruscant, personally killing Erin's master, Venzalo, and setting the tone for just how ruthless he is. But that's what makes Malgus interesting, isn't it? Just what he's just terrifying tall, two something meter thing, and really we get into his head quite a bit. While the Sith celebrate their victory, Malgus is disgusted to learn it's all leading to a peace treaty. How could we do this? A peace treaty with the Jedi? That's weird. To him, peace is
a
victory. It's a weakness. Conflict is truth. And as the Empire starts playing politics, Malgus begins quietly deciding that maybe the Empire itself is the problem.
Oh, indeed. And so all of these paths collide on a war-torn Coruscant, which is really cool to see. Just thinking about how many iterations of war Coruscant has seen. But Zerid he's just trying to survive long enough to get back to his daughter without the crime syndicate called the Exchange killing his family. So the risks are high, the stakes are high, and Erin is hunting Malgus for revenge. She knows that he was the one who killed her master. It's a cool little story there. And then Malgus, fully aware of both of them, is playing his own larger game. And so what follows is a mix of back alley survival, force-fueled confrontations, and one very tense question. How far can you go before you become the thing you hate? Mm.
So by the end, nobody walks away clean. Z-Man claws his way to something resembling a happy ending. He gets a farm, a fresh start, and hope for his daughter, but only after making some pretty hard choices. Erin turns away from revenge at the very last possible moment, but at the cost of her place in the Jedi Order. And Malgus, he makes the most Sith decision imaginable. After sparing his enemies, bold move, he kills the one person he actually loves, an even bolder move, Elena Daru, just to prove he's strong enough to do it. Because in his mind, if peace is a lie, then so is love. And he's done being deceived by either.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, great job. Hey, that makes me kind of interested in the book more than I was. Let's rate it. Let's go around the horn here. I'm a little negative on the book. This is not one of my favorite Legends books. The summary, if the book itself was that short. All right, Rick, you loved it. I didn't really like it all that much. You want to give us your take?
Yeah, I would say, all right, you're going to have to give me the scale again. I don't know why every single time we do a round table, I can't remember the rubric. But what's our scale? Yeah.
We've got Jar Jar, and then we've got Maul, and then we've got Dark Empire. Okay, those are the three tiers.
Okay.
Yeah, no, we've got what? Masterpiece, incredible, good, fair, mediocre.
Where does it sit in your top 10?
Yes. I would say it's great, which is not one of those words you said. So somewhere between good and incredible in my book, I would give it incredible because I really enjoyed reading this. It moved quickly. It's a smaller book. And I don't know. I liked these characters. I loved the sacking of Coruscant. That was a great first act of the book. If even that, like just introduction to start to the book. This is the first time I'd experienced Darth Malgus at all. And I had always wondered, I think I like this part partially because it answered a question that I've had. If Sith allow passion, why don't we see more relationships or more, I guess, sexual behavior from the Sith, you know? And this is the first time that you see, at least in my memory, a Sith with a girlfriend. And so that was kind of like closing a plot hole in my lore of, yeah, finally a Sith, a bad guy who has love, who has something that he is trying to make work, but then it gets to the point where he has to choose, and he makes the Sith choice, and it just makes it all the more brutal and, I don't know, satisfying from, like, a Sith side. So I enjoyed all of that, and it was predictable in a fun way, so I enjoyed it.
Good explanation. Not the kind of guy you want to bring home to your parents.
No.
Darth Malgus. For sure. Okay. Anybody in between me and Rick? I'm at like a C- on this one. Rick is like what, an A-?
Yeah, A-, B+.
Okay.
I would
Emily,
say,
you're the teacher. Give it a grade.
Give it a grade.
Oh, Freddie can go first.
Oof. No, Emily, you go ahead. I want to hear what you got to say.
What if you just give your score?
I'm intrigued. Not yet. Go ahead, Emily.
Okay, I thought it was great. I thought it was incredible. I mean, it was a good amount of depth. I actually didn't see the ending coming. I felt like it could have gone a bunch of different ways. I think it was interesting to see the parallels between him killing Alina and then, Kylo Ren killing Han Solo. I was like, oh, okay, that to me seemed very, like, the same scene. And so seeing that, like, this one came first, and that one was also heart-wrenching. I don't know. It was nice to see kind of the parallel between canon and Legends. I would have loved, I mean, there were some things I would probably have liked to change, but I thought it was great for an era that, like, we don't see in the films at all, and not having the ability to have any familiar characters. I thought they did a great job. I would have liked some more backstory about Alina and Darth Malgus. I would have loved to see more of his backstory and how they really came together. It hinted at it, but it didn't really scratch that itch of like, okay, who, why, like what has he seen? Because Alina has all this pity and love for him and you like her character. So like, it would have been nice to see a bit of a glimpse to humanize him.
Sure.
But I thought it was great. I mean, I liked that each of those characters went a full spectrum of good intentions or like certain one intention at the start to changing completely by the end. Or like they came face to face with a hard choice and chose an impossible choice every single time. And it all kind of came together. It was a bit tidy at the end, but you know, I thought it was a great book. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, the peaceful ending on the farm
with
the handicapped daughter is a little bit. But I think I did like it, to your point, more on my first read through. Once I knew the big twist at the end, maybe I wasn't as invested in Darth Loverboy. Okay, so we've got two goods, Incredibles. Freddie, back me up.
Yeah.
Please hate this book.
So there's a list in my head of how many books are actually necessary in some of these books, like in some of these stories. Did this story really need to be told? The answer is always yes. Doesn't matter which one it was, right? Every Legends book, I'm just glad we got them all. We got a final count. We got the whole lot, right? And any less would have been a shame. So that's my thought there. This book is maybe top 20.
Oh.
I could say top 20.
I'm the odd man out. Okay.
If I say top 15, I have to start taking a look at my books and really determine if that's true or not. But I could comfortably say this is a top 20 book.
I feel like if this book was like on a menu, it would be an appetizer. It'd be like a small plate, you know? It's not like
you don't have to start anywhere else. You could just start with this book.
Yeah.
If you're just like, look,
a little appetizer.
I'll give you an example.
It's really quite self-contained.
Yeah.
I'll give you an example. I have a couple
being a video game tie-in.
Yeah. I have a couple of
friends. You don't have to play the game first.
No, you don't. Just a couple of friends. I could show them the video. They like, you know, pretty, I don't know, like action-packed movies, stuff like that. They love Darth Maul kind of guys, love martial arts. I would give them this book next after, because they're reading Maul Lockdown right now.
Yeah, this would be great. It's really
But after that, I'd be like, hey, check this out. And I think that's part of the problem. And this is where it's like in audiobooks, this is a great audiobook. I've read this book.
Yeah.
But the audiobook, Mark Thompson, it is narrated so well. He even does a good Elena voice, I will admit.
And he's not as good with the women. So that's high praise.
No.
He works on those.
But you get through it. You don't have to, like, every time he does it, you don't think about it, but it's not bad. But I will say, like, it is an action packed. It is. I was doing some, you guys might be aware of Insanity. I was doing some of the plyometric cardio circuit while listening to Maul Lockdown, and I was like, Deceived. And
Deceived.
I think my heart rate got up to like 178, and I was like, whoa, it is definitely this book.
Cool.
So
let's crack
solid.
Into it a little bit.
It's pretty solid.
Let's debate and discuss and see if you guys can change my mind or if I can change yours. You know, you never know. Let's start with the end, the big twist ending. Malgus kills the one person he loves to eliminate weakness. When I think about this book, I remember the beginning. I remember the end. I remember the beginning with the sacking of Coruscant, the video game trailer. And then I remember, he's got the girlfriend and he freaking kills her. So Malgus kills the one person he loves to eliminate weakness. So be honest, does that make him the most committed Sith ever? Or just the galaxy's worst boyfriend?
Okay, I don't think it makes Malgus him the worst partner. Because she would be a pawn and would be used in painful ways.
Tortured.
To hurt him. And so by giving her a fast, clean death in as close of a familiar way as he can, I view that as a bit of a mercy. His motivation was more selfish, and I don't love that, but I don't think it makes him the galaxy's worst relationship partner. I think there's worse than Malgus.
That's an interesting take.
I'd rather take it quick and like clean, you know? Like, I'd rather just die fast.
Quick and painless.
Yeah.
And be tortured. Lightsaber, gotta be a quick way.
Yeah. I definitely think he gets a punch in his Sith card, you know, where he gets to prove, not that anybody cares or is proving, but, like, it makes him a true Sith that, you know, he feels the passion, but he also is calling out the hypocrisy of the rest of the Sith. And that's what drives him to do this is, I don't know if it's care is the wrong word, but his dedication, I guess, to the way of the Sith. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but he gets a punch in his Sith card. I think that's the best way I can say it.
Yeah, no doubt. Absolutely. I mean, think of it, I guess the cool thing is that this book does give you Malgus's perspective on it all, right? It's very, you definitely hear his emotions, and you can tell that he does really care for Elena. And when the Sith, obviously, they find out about this, he realizes it's an absolute weakness for myself. Like, this is an absolute weakness to me because, damn it, I care for this person, or, well, being. And you think you can put your eyes on my slave? Excuse me? Much less anything more. Of course he's going to take action, but he understands that the route to power lead, you basically have to minimize your risk and weaknesses because that's intense. Mm. And Elena was a major risk for him when he knows that he could do it on his own and he won't have to worry about anybody else but himself. And I think that's what we see from Malgus, is he realizes that, and dang it, he loves Elena. Like, he really does. And he knows that he definitely shouldn't have fallen in love with her, but he did, and now he's got to deal with it.
Hmm. Yeah, it is an interesting perspective to explore. I mean, we don't see Palpatine in a relationship, though. Okay, canon. He's got a grandchild. Anyway, it's complicated.
You know,
it doesn't make sense.
Parts.
He had all those clones.
Okay,
so maybe they're okay.
yeah, it gets confusing. You know, what's funny though is that Malgus walks around with a respirator. He's covered in scars. Let me just note this. With the Funko Pop, he's got these weird ears. Give me the one. Let me show off the Funko Pop's ears. Look at the weird ears on this bad boy. See if I can get him in focus. Yeah, he's got these funny little ears. Anyway, yeah. Well, don't worry though. Rick just called you a true Sith. Okay.
Mm. Is Malgus a human?
He's got the respirator. He's covered in scars. He's radiating pure menace. Yeah. They give him a last name or a human name in this.
I think he's human. He's a human. He talks like what's his face?
Adras
at the end,
right?
And he's talking about like, oh, non-humans. Like, he speaks poorly of
Elena, he is human.
And that triggers him.
Yeah.
He is human.
Right. The Empire, this Sith Empire, as well as the one in the original trilogy, it's xenophobic. Mm-hmm. Specifically pro-human. Okay, so here's the point. He's got the respirator. He's covered in scars. He's radiating pure menace, and yet he still has a girlfriend. What does this say about confidence versus personality versus the absolute disaster that is the Star Wars dating pool? If even this little freak has a girlfriend, right?
This little freak.
Okay.
I mean, he radiates power, right?
And, he does.
And he's walking through Coruscant, and people are just getting out of the way. Like, this guy doesn't quite look human. He looks like a robot. I mean, it's very much like Vader, right? Like, what is that thing? Is that a droid? Is that a
human?
You've
got the withered head and everything, right?
And the weird ears. It's the ears, man. It's the ears.
Plus, I don't know, like, Elena being a Twi'lek slave, she probably had to be through a lot, and so I don't know if it was compassion she got from him or attention or something was different.
Or she's just settling.
Yeah, we're just settling. I don't know. I feel like they had a real connection.
Yeah, to Emily's point earlier in the show, it would have been nice to have gotten that backstory. Mm-hmm. And what we get with him, if I'm not mistaken, in the game, is his story moving forward from here. So this is kind of like the backstory to the game. And then throughout the game, he ends up kind of leading a Sith faction separate and apart from the Emperor. And so you as the Jedi can even team up with him if you take the Jedi route, if I'm not mistaken. It's been a few years since I played. And so he kind of forms this third faction, which is interesting. But yeah, it would be nice to get that backstory. We don't get it. What else were you going to add to that, Emily? You had a point a minute ago.
Yeah, so interestingly, having read a fair amount of romance, there's a few different categories of romance, and one of them is dark romance, and it gets real weird. This read very much like the flip side of like a toxic dark romance. There's like a trope called like he'll burn the world for her, and that was definitely that. This was like Darth Malgus and Alina was definitely like he would burn the world for her at the first part, and then it turns and he chooses himself over her. But like this whole shared trauma, definitely mutual shared trauma, definitely some sort of a power imbalance, and it just read like I've read quite horrified enough of these like dark romance books that I really do it kind of horrifies me because there's like people who have very like people who like those kinds
sick
of
and
books
twisted fantasies
are like I'm worried for their mental state, you know, like if this is what you consider to
yeah
be
like
love,
all of our listeners are worried for you right now.
Yeah, you should be. I'm not reading these books anymore, but like I would just try them because like every, you know, you go so far down a path and like you end up reading bug books, you know. It's just part of like the whole
the bug books.
Yeah, the bug books are like exhibit A of like you thought you were reading it for the original trilogy kind of stuff, and then you end up in the bug books and you're like, how did I get here? So it definitely read like the male perspective of a really unhealthy romance novel. And ended about as I expect any of those probably would. But it was interesting to get a different perspective on that, having read the female perspective so many times.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of the female perspective, it's good that you're on the show because I don't think any of us would have brought that insight otherwise.
I doubt many of our
listeners
will
understand. The best insight I had
was, but that's okay.
Yeah. I'm like, how does this guy get a girlfriend? And then he kills her.
He probably
saved
her.
R.I.P. Alina.
And she feels indebted to him, and he doesn't abuse her. And so she's like,
that makes
aw
sense.
And then she thinks slowly of herself because she was abused in the past. And so any amount of attention that he gives her, she views as love. And
sure,
it doesn't matter to her what he looks like. It's how he treats her and the fact that he would burn the world for her. Like a lot of people really deeply want
sure
that kind of a love. But I do think it has to be like mutually respectful, because he doesn't really respect her, even though he does love her. It's like he does, but he doesn't.
I prefer love that's like some pasta and, you know, like a vacation and, you know, movie night. That's about it.
You had me at carbs.
Yeah, carbs.
Yeah, I had Rick at pasta. All right, hey, that's kind of a silly way to look at Malgus. However, this relationship is thought-provoking. Now, when we get into the philosophical with this book, Malgus has this belief that the Force is conflict, right? The Force is conflict, and the Empire, the Sith Empire, is its perfect instrument. This is kind of his mantra, that the Force is conflict, the Empire is its perfect instrument. Alina, however, she questions this philosophy, asking, why conflict? Why would the Force exist to foment conflict and death? Ah, she's beginning to... Maybe this is when she sealed her own fate right here, when she questioned Sith philosophy. Whose perspective on the fundamental nature of the Force do you find more compelling? Should Malgus have listened to Alina, or should Alina have just shut up and not dared question the Sith way of things? Would her fate have been any different? Would the galaxy be any different?
Do you think Malgus went back to his, I don't know, what do they call their living spaces? His flat, I don't know.
Apartments.
His apartment, his
quarters.
His quarters. There you go.
His capital ship, yes.
And wrote down what he learned, or what, because I mean, obviously he had a killer. Do you think he like sat down and wrote about it? Because
he probably just fired up the Xbox and started playing Call of Duty.
I see Malgus as the kind of person that, if he had access to like a Sith holocron, he'd probably like record the moment and then continue to develop his understanding of the dark side, because I've seen a lot of people, even in corporate world, I've seen people who think they have some certain power or some certain kind of way of going about things, only to have things blow up and they take a moment to sit and think about it, and next time I see them come around, it's like, oh, you did learn from that. You did fall face flat. Testing boundaries. Not sure. Well, what do you guys think?
I don't know. I view him as more of like an action taker. Like, I don't, he didn't seem introspective. He didn't seem politically motivated. He seemed kind of like more of a brute type of a character. Like, he had strength. He had this drive to fight and to destroy. And so he assumed that that was the best way. And everyone else was an idiot. And he's not a Bane. Like, I feel like Bane, for sure, Holocron. I mean, obviously, we have that example in his books. But, like, Bane was a mastermind as well as a brute. And Malgus just seems like more of a brute to me. I don't see a lot of intellectual growth in his character, except when he kills Alina.
Do we even see, like, his growth? Like, how did he get to this point? Why is he like this?
No, and that's why I wish we had.
Well, what part are you talking about? The decision to kill Alina?
Just why he is such a brute, and conflict is the answer, right? Like, what? Why is that
the case? I don't know.
And I think maybe that's part of the mystery, right?
Yeah.
Emily, that's,
we don't know what his Sith training was like, or who his master was. Because at this point, I mean, there's a huge collection of Sith, the Sith League Empire.
Do we know who the Emperor is?
This is not Rule of Two era, right?
At this point?
Vitiate. I don't know if that's been revealed at this point.
It's on the game.
It didn't seem like he mentioned it, but he only referred to him as the Emperor. And he's so far down the food chain, you know? It's like he's like the underling to the underling to the underling.
Middle management Sith.
But he thinks he's like the most important one. And so he just doesn't strike me as a big player, you know?
Yep.
He is like a minor.
But he's the one that sacks Coruscant. I mean, that's kind of a big deal. I mean, he's leading
that
strike force.
That's kind of a big deal. But he was like in military terms, he'd be like the captain that commanded one battle. But he's like,
I view him as more of a general.
And then there's majors, and then there's lieutenant colonels, and then generals. Like, there's many other people up the food chain that are making moves on galactic scales that are beyond just taking down a single building.
Oh man, that's right. His dad, he killed his dad's Twi'lek servant.
Oh yeah. Ooh.
And his dad sent him to the Sith Academy on Dromund
Kaas. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
But that's all we really get. Maybe that's just his, I don't know. All very weird.
It is weird.
The brutality.
I see, for just one second, I think about like Mortis, right? Like that, the conflict to keep balance. Like, how do you keep balance? Do you keep balance by conflict, or do you keep balance by restraint? I feel like that's where Malgus is at. He's just in complete chaos and unrestrained. And that's it. It's just pure and simple. Like, that's just who he is.
Yeah, right. There's so much more lore with the Sith in this whole era, the Old Republic. This book just gives a little taste of it. And it kind of like the Revan novel, right? It sets you up for the bigger story in the game. And the game has got all these different character classes, and each one has its own unique story. Plus, there's then all the extra, you know, DLC. There's the Shadow of Revan. There's the Hutt Cartel. And they're still releasing stuff for this game all these years later, even over 10 years after the Disney acquisition. And so there's a lot more lore that I'd love for us to explore one day. But for now, hey, I'm glad we got to talk about Malgus a little bit. Let's talk about a couple of other characters as well. Number one, Z-Man. Z-Man. Zerid, hey, he survives explosions and crime syndicates, Sith fleets, and his own bad decisions. But at the heart of it all, just like Malgus, he's got his own, you know, personal love story. His is not romantic, it's parental. So what's the most dangerous thing, in your opinion, that Zerid deals with? The Exchange, crime syndicate. You've got the Sith patrols, you know, the Sith lords and their armies. On the other hand, you've got parenting, but then also the disability factor of it all, and the medical bills. So, what do you think? What's the most dangerous aspect, the most heartbreaking part of Zerid's story? Is it the danger of being a smuggler? Who teams up with a Jedi? I want to talk about her, too.
Mm-hmm.
And once he does team up with a Jedi, that's when everything goes south, right?
The... the bureaucracy, you know, of the metal gear thing, that's kind of funny to think about. But yeah, I mean, that makes life more difficult for him. And that's what forces him into the exchange and working for them and being a smuggler and all that. So it's kind of like he's doing his best. He reminds me a lot of like Han Solo. I mean, obviously a smuggler thing, but even just he shoots first, asks questions later kind of guy. He's trying to protect the people he loves. I don't know. There's a lot of similarities. They're very similar archetypes, whatever, but.
He's got a little. Every character in this has got their own slogan, their own catchphrase. What's his? We do what we must.
Something like that, yeah.
Z-Man. What
it's
a
all,
name.
All pragmatism.
Yep.
But he gets a happy ending.
He does.
Z-Man's his foil in the story. He picks up this hellbent on vengeance Jedi Knight, Eren. She's driven by vengeance for her master, whose death she felt through the Force. Yet the Jedi Order, they were like, let's not get involved, and we can't make any hasty decisions. She's like, screw you guys. I'm going to put a stop to this. So she goes on her own vengeance quest, but then Malgus spares her. Malgus spares her. So what does this act of mercy, you know, reveal about Eren's character and then, you know, her potential future path? The lingering influence of the Jedi Order. Where does she stand? How did you read this character? I thought she was probably the most compelling part of the book.
It's interesting to me that she's has down the most single-minded. Like, she's like, there is no other. And she considers many times, like, should I stop? Should I not stop? And every single time she's like, there is only one path forward for me, and that is vengeance. And so, like, over and over and over again, you see her confront this and still choose vengeance. And yet it's not until she sees Alina and she has a conversation with Alina that she decides not to kill her and she changes, like, she turns back from the dark side. So it's interesting to me that Alina...
Yeah, that's the part I was leaving out of that summary, right?
Oh, sorry. Was I not supposed to say that?
No, I was leaving out that very important... No, I left out that important detail. I needed to circle back to it. That she had the chance to kill Alina... And then she spared her, and so then Malgus, you know, spares her as a result.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that Malgus chose to spare her, because I didn't see that in his character. But I do like that Eren. I'm a little bit fascinated by Alina, because she was kind of the most important character in the whole book. You know, she was the hinge point for every single other character. Like Malgus, his weakness was Alina. Alina was her turning point, which therefore, well, I guess not really so much for Z-Man, but for the other two main Force users, it was this non-Force user who was just in her soft era. She was in her feminine era, and she in love and in acceptance and like it, probably the most in tune with the unity of the Force. She is what turns both of them in the end.
Yeah, good point. Absolutely. The most interesting thing about that character for me, the plot of it all, we don't often see a Jedi being the hunter of the Sith who is relentless and focused. I mean, we often see the Sith hunting the Jedi. But this one, and you're kind of reading it thinking, this is not going to end well for her.
Yeah, I kept thinking she's going to apprentice to Darth Malgus in the end, and then it didn't happen. I was like, oh, look at you.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Right.
I thought it was going to be like a Bane and Xana situation.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. I could have seen that happening for sure. It was really compelling to see her journey and her that's why I like the book, man, because she's dynamic. And it's very believable to see her fall to the dark side, but she does have that moment of, wait, this is not who I am, where she comes back from the brink and still walks away from the Jedi Order. It's not like, or they walk away from her, whatever, but it's not like, you know, everything gets tied up in a nice bow tie for her. You know, she does have to find a new way forward. Is she a gray Jedi? I don't know, but it's a cool story.
And just like with Revan, you know, you relate to her reasoning. the fact that the Jedi, you know, they're being hands off. They're not wanting to rush into this. They weren't listening to her when she had a bad feeling about this. Very classic Star Wars tropey, this book. Mm. And they didn't listen, and it turned badly for them. However, can we just say, did nobody learn any lessons from the original trilogy? Mm. When the Sith want to negotiate a peace, it's a trap. Am I right? It's a trap. It's always a trap.
It's true, but this is a prequel. This happened, you know, ages before. Literally.
Yep.
No excuse. It's a trap. It's always a trap.
It's always a trap. Yoda should have remembered. He was alive, right?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Well, hey. No, not by this point. Smart. He's 900 years old. Return of the Jedi. This is
that was
a
mostly
thousand
a joke,
years.
Like, no one really knows how old the dude is. I know he probably wasn't actually alive. But
oh, no. This is, yeah, 4,000 years. 4,000.
Yeah.
Listen. Listen. This is the kind of question we take seriously here, Emily.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it is. Actually, shout out to our buddies over at the Star Wars Archives. They did a great recent episode about Yoda's species, all the different characters throughout Star Wars, particularly legends that have belonged to Yoda's species, and they do a lot of debating about, you know, the history of their species and their longevity and their speech patterns, and I got a real kick out of that one. I was like, dang it, I wish I'd have had that idea for a show.
Where can we find that, Jared?
Yeah, the Star Wars Archives feed on all your podcatcher apps. So check out Trevor and Jose, friends of the show, for sure. Hey, before we wind down, let's get into just a few overarching kind of plot character or plot questions here now that we finished the characters. Number one, this is just a shout-out to Zerid's ship. Do you guys remember the name of
Batman.
Zerid's ship? Rick, I'm going to toss this one to you. Yeah.
Sorry, I was too excited.
Was it Fatman?
It was Batman. Yeah.
The Fatman, right.
Nice, yep.
I used to listen to a podcast with Kevin Smith called Fat Man on Batman.
Oh, dude, me too.
And so,
love that.
It was like masquerading
yeah,
as a
what
different
I thought
name,
about.
Though, wasn't it? It was like red. Was it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I forget. Something less memorable than Fat Man.
Yeah.
Fat Man, yeah.
Well, let's have a little bit of fun. Hey, Zerid's explanation for the loss of cargo. I mean, this is very your smuggler. Han Solo says to Jabba, hey, you and I get bored sometimes. So very much in line with that trope, Zerid's explanation for his loss of cargo and eight men is that a shipping container full of grenades, quote unquote, blew up. Why'd you just make balloons?
What'd I do?
There were balloons all over the screen.
That's
hilarious.
What did you
do?
No. Celebrate.
I gave air quotes.
Idea.
Oh my gosh.
It's just in Zoom, so whatever you guys are seeing is not happening. So you guys are all hallucinating.
Man. Oh.
And I'm really confused because I'm not looking at that.
Oh. So,
well, that's crazy.
That's a little embarrassing
what,
on us.
What
it's
in
okay.
the
there are
for you
our,
guys on?
For our audio listeners or for whoever's not seeing exactly what we're seeing, there's balloons all over the screen whenever I do air quotes. So keep your fingers down. No, Emily, don't make the computer mad. Rick, quit.
That's not me.
Freddie.
It's only you.
Oh.
It's not doing it for me.
Yeah, that's strange. Back to my point, the container full of grenades blew up because they were too close. So if you were in this kind of a situation, what's the most ridiculous cover-up that you could come up with for losing your cargo in a Star Wars smuggling situation? So the grenades blew up because they were too close together. What would be the worst explanation? Emily, as a teacher, what's the worst excuse? Channel your inner middle schooler here.
Worst excuse
you would give for losing your cargo as a smuggler?
I left them at home. Or, I took them on vacation and accidentally left them.
You left the grenades on vacation?
Yeah. That's the most realistic excuse that I actually get all the time. Like, oh, it's in my other backpack.
Yeah.
It was a clerical error.
The grenades were in my other backpack.
Clerical error.
I didn't
the droid
know.
Clerical
it's
error.
A wrong ship.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go with the Kowaki and monkey lizards ate the grenades.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
That's way
makes
better.
We landed on a jungle moon, needed gas, stopped for fuel and some jerky and energy drinks. And the Kowaki and monkey lizards, they snuck on the ship, kind of like the Gizkas in KOTOR. And the monkey lizards, they ate the grenades. Mm. Sorry. It's not my fault.
I'm pretty sure they talked about tobacco in here, so there's definitely some tobacco.
Tobacco. Hey, that's even better than tomatoes.
I rolled up, you know, nice little tobacco cigar.
No, Freddie, don't roll it up, Freddie. We're almost done.
And I let it go, and boom.
Anyway. That could be a thing.
There you go. So it's just, you know, recreational. Recreational. I got a kick out of that. All right, how about one more? Malgus. This one's a doozy. So you've been warned, listeners. Now's your time to dip if you don't want gross kissing discussion. Okay. Malgus and Elena, in true romance fashion, they have a romantic smooching scene. Oh, Emily's practicing for her kissing scene moment over there.
I'm sorry, Emily. I did you dirty.
On camera.
I've been watching all show laughing, and then I couldn't let it go.
This is how I'm staying
Emily's
awake.
Pumping iron in the background.
Listen, okay.
It's late.
This is what I was doing. I have 5-pound dumbbells, and every time the camera cuts off of me, I just move them around a little bit so that I stay awake. Otherwise, I will fall asleep.
I don't know how you're doing it, Emily, with what your body's doing right now. That's
Yeah, kudos. You ought to see what the baby's doing down there. The baby's squatting 120-pound racks like Lucino.
I'm sorry, Rick. I didn't know you could see that. That's a little embarrassing.
Oh, that was priceless.
Sorry.
Rick,
that one's going
all.
On the gram. Going on the gram for sure.
All right, you were saying about
even better than the time that even better than when Freddie got caught snacking on camera.
Oh,
a few shows ago. Freddie was chowing down on the sandwich.
Remember the ranch incident?
Oh,
the
yeah.
ranch incident.
I was eating chicken wings on the show, and y'all were like, careful with the ranch. And then I just smeared it all over my face to be funny, and then...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's gross.
Oh,
it was everywhere.
Who among us?
Anyway.
Hasn't seen
ruined lips.
The ranch on Rick's face. We're right here at the finish line, guys. Malgus kisses Alina with his ruined lips. After slipping his respirator aside. So given his character, his injuries, the context, how awkward and intense do you imagine this moment to be? What's the worst kiss you've ever had, and how much worse could this one have been?
Oh, man. This is
you gonna kiss and tell, Freddie?
Worse. This is going to be worse than that one.
What?
That one was pretty bad. Long story short, my lips were being bitten, and it was not really a kiss. It was just biting my lip, and I was like, I'm done. Sorry.
Uh-oh.
This is pretty close, but I imagined, like, incredibly chapped lips.
Yeah,
what?
It's got to be chapped under there.
Like a shark? What? Why?
Vampire.
First and last, Emily. Don't worry about it.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
You should see the other guy. Yeah. Yeah, I remember my first kiss being a really bad one. I don't think she was into it.
Huh.
But at least in this situation, Malgus and Alina, they're both into it.
Yeah.
So at least it's consensual.
Yep.
At least we think she's into it.
True. Stockholm Syndrome. Man.
Emily, you want to weigh in on this one, or you want to go back to pump an iron?
Well,
I guess...
gosh. I mean, I feel like it has to be a relatively passionate kiss. It can't be a chaste little peck because he is actually really in love with her and he's trying to fight those feelings. And she's the only one that sees him for who, like, what and who he really is. And so despite, like, his respirator slips aside, there is no mask anymore. There's no pretending with Alina. So I do think that it's on the more passionate side.
But how ruined are the lips? Mm.
Pretty ruined.
Do you think
again.
after the 10th kiss, like say this is like they've gone through 10 kisses. Do you think she's going to start turning her cheek a little bit like, oh.
More of a handshake couple, like a high five,
oh,
like
yeah.
a side hug.
It's so hilarious because like in the romance sphere, like there's a few like things that you just look out for.
Hit us with the forbidden knowledge, Emily.
Yes. Yeah. So scars always hot for some reason. In the romance thing. So, I mean, he's all scarred. Doesn't matter.
You hear that, buddy? She called
they're
you
They're always huge, like really massive individuals, like the main love interest. He fits the description. You know, the female always has some sort of a traumatic past that he like saves her from, or like helps her to overcome, and he sees her for who she really is, and so she sees him.
Yeah.
So there's like, I don't know. I understood the romance between Malgus and Alina better than I understood the Aaron and Zerid.
Oh, I don't understand that one.
Yeah. That felt like that's very.
I liked it when Rick called him Zerid because it sounded like Jared.
They feel more like roommates.
That tells you all you need to know.
So
they feel more like roommates than lovers.
That's a good point. Yeah, the roommate factor. With Alina and Malgus, though, man, I think there's a question in the notes earlier that we skipped over about, like, alternative genre. And I started thinking with this question, like, okay, I don't have a respirator, but I got a CPAP, you know?
And you identify.
I identify. And, like, the drool. Jared's about to go.
Oh my gosh.
Wait, what?
Yes, I survived. I almost snorted all over the microphone.
That was hilarious.
The amount of like drool and stuff when you take off the mask. So like it would be so bad. It's like, you know, like
that's gonna do it for this episode of Legends.
No, back. I got more. Have y'all seen, you know, Scary Movie? Okay, like, Scary Movie 1, 2, 3, 4.
No.
You know,
oh,
like
yes.
That genre.
I was
of,
thinking
like,
of that. With
a strong hand.
And it comes out, yeah. And it's like super long and nasty.
That's the kind of scene I want this to be. Is just a gross, satisfying, comedic moment of like, why is she kissing this man when that's happening? Like, that's what I see, and it's perfect now that you mention it. So.
We need a sign that says it's been this many days since the word tongue was mentioned on Legends Look Back.
We have a list of words.
It's back at zero, in case you were wondering. It's back
but
at zero.
Would the tongue be moist? That. That's the question.
Ew.
There's a source book, Jared,
actually,
that I recommend checking out. I'm going to look it up on eBay shortly. The Journal of Master Nosdural. And it... Aaron is actually... her image is first... mentioned in this source book, so check it out. There's a lot of behind the scenes.
Cool. Yeah, and I think the art of Star Wars The Old Republic is another one that has been a holy grail for me. It's been one that's been hard to come by. I'm looking to see what the going rate is on this one. So, whoa, yeah, Amazon hardcover, $444.44.
For what?
The art and making of Star Wars The Old Republic. Oh, it's got Malgus on the cover. Oh, with his lips! We can see Malgus lips. All right, this one's going in the Discord. For more exploration. They don't look that bad. They don't look that bad.
Artistically ruined. Beautifully scarred. His scars were beautiful to her.
Hey, Emily, was this a Star Wars smut book?
It basically was. If it was written by a man... Because there's certain things that are always inserted in a book if it's written by a woman. And one is, like, if they start mentioning the smell of somebody, it's over. Like, they passed by and smelled, like, spearmint and woods and something citrusy. It's like, okay, well, now we know. Like, it's coming at some point. Anyway.
He smells like death and charred. I don't know.
Well, this is how you know this book was written by a man, because the only time smell was mentioned was when Alina's musk drifted into his respirator and he like got a whiff. And I was like, that is kind of gross.
And I hate it when musk gets in my respirator. I don't know about you.
Would you consider this number one smut book of Star Wars?
Oh, no. That was the top list.
Ruins of Dantooine has got some romance.
Oh, yeah. It sure does. Oh, and the undulating
Talon to Till. That's right.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, there was a Shizor Easter egg in this.
Yes, yeah, I saw
Jared.
That.
There was a somebody was named Shizor. I had to Google it.
Oh, yeah,
this
that's
one was
right.
not Faline.
Oh, really?
I do think we should put a smutty section of Legends as a panel.
This would be on there.
Yeah, I'm going to let y'all do that one without me.
Well, the funny thing is, like, Star Wars smut is, like, PG, like, at most.
Yeah.
I feel like, well, maybe she's or maybe got a little further on, but I'm like, it always cracks me up when
I see
it. You're
not in the fanfic world.
So, okay, well, No. I have you?
Anyway, check out the journal.
That's
of
a whole nother story. The fanfic that I have read specifically is just the Sword of the Jedi trilogy. Let me be clear. However, I'm aware of some things that I would rather not know about.
Oh, no. I've uncovered
In particular,
something.
The Raylos. It's the Raylos.
Ew.
Yep. Okay. Oh, let the record state, I know nothing of this. I've not encountered this.
And we were right at a tight hour before the tongue, romance, lips, smut discussion.
Don't forget the drool. The drool's in there, too.
Oh, that was...
And I blame you for the drool, right?
Yeah, I'll never not think about that now.
Hilarious.
When I think of this scene, like, ugh, drool.
Yeah, thanks, Rick.
Thanks, Rick.
Happy
Appreciate
to help,
that.
Guys.
So that's going to do it for this week's episode of Legends Look Back. Let's close this out. If you're looking for some other podcasts to expand your fandom, be sure to check out the rest of our lineup in the Youtini Network, including the aforementioned Star Wars Archives. We've got The Cosmic Force, the Youtini Canon Book Club, and The Youtini Show.
Absolutely, and thank you to the proud members of the United. A special thank you to James Taylor, Michael Fry, Kevin Leninger, Brian Dooley, and Austin Visser on our High Council for their amazing support.
Indeed, and if you would like your thoughts, nope, that's not it. If you would like to join our amazing community, of like-minded fans who are eager and excited to tanny time to talk Star Wars Legends anytime, day or night.
No, we lost Rick.
I'm dead. Emily, help me out.
Visit utini.com/community. If you would like your thoughts read on the show, please email us at legendslookback@gmail.com. You can also reach us on X at Legends Look Back, Instagram at Legends Look Back, and the United Discord, which is now open to all, where we are continuing the conversation and dropping respirator-free pics of Malgus in the Legends Look Back channel.
We did find him unmasked. Malgus unmasked. It's disturbing.
Is it
all right? That's it for us. Keep exploring, keep sharing, and let's keep on expanding the universe together. May the Force be with you.
This has been a Youtini Network production. Be sure to check out Youtini.com for everything Star Wars in one place. Powered by a community of intentional positivity. Thanks for listening, and may the Force be with you.